Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Stella Blue Coffee is more than just great coffee. It's coffee with a purpose. Introducing We Brew to Rescue, a nationwide campaign using proceeds from our new ready-to-drink cans to help fund 1,000 pet adoptions this year. Every can you crack open helps a real pet find a real home. Simple as that. Made with 100% Colombian coffee, each 11-ounce can delivers smooth, drinkable energy with a boost of protein. Available in espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. Built for mornings, long days, and everything in between. Drink Stella Blue, fuel your day, and help save a pet's life. You can follow our progress in real time throughout the campaign by watching the adoption tracker on our site. Grab yours now at StellaBlueCoffee.com. Amazon and select retailers nationwide.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want a cup of joe with you?
I'm gonna make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore! It's Dunk!
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do!
I'm the Joker, baby!
Hello, and welcome into episode 12 of season 3 of Lights, Camera, Barstool. Got a bunch of great stuff on the docket for you today, including our review of Sofia Coppola's Priscilla, our reaction to the penultimate episode of Loki, and our hot takes and streaming picks of the week. But before we get into all that, let's take a look at the massive week in movie and TV news. Enjoy!
All right, Lights, Camera, Barstool, movie and TV news time. We got some big stuff, a lot of Marvel this week. Jeff D. Lowe, Ken Jack, Gooch. If you're on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the channel. Hit the like button and comment below. Give us your thoughts on what's going on Marvel right now. A lot we'll get to. A lot that I'm going to throw a bit of a challenge flag on some of it. Some of it seems a little contrived, but we'll see. We'll see. Some of it seems to be bullshit. Some of it for sure is real. But I guess we'll just start out with Marvel then. Variety came up with a big article all about Marvel. Some stuff has not been debunked, but some stuff has been, I guess, reported as maybe not being fully true or maybe partially inaccurate. But there's a couple nuggets that definitely make sense. One of them being the big thing off the top that apparently – and this is the one where it's a little confusing to me. This is where this article, I was like, this seems like there's some holes here. They said that reports are that Marvel's reached out to Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Scarlett Johansson, all of them to come back for an Avengers movie. And there's this whole ordeal when this article dropped that like, oh, like a different Avengers movie, like Avengers 1.5 or some bullshit like that. Like, but didn't it clearly just seem to be Secret Wars off the top? Like Secret Wars is an Avengers movie coming out down the line in a few years. There's an assumption that anyone who's ever been in anything Marvel is going to be in it. That news wasn't surprising, but it was painted as some sort of like crazy. That was the first thing for me. I was like, this is kind of weird.
Yeah. Let's get this off the top. It's Variety, which if you don't follow this kind of circle of news, like there's Deadline, there's the Hollywood Reporter, two, like those are your institutions. And then there's Variety, which is like, in a way, kind of the New York Post. Like they go around, they do report, but they also have very opinionated views, slanted articles. This was definitely one of them. Because when I first read that, I read it how Jeff just said, like, I was like, another Avengers movie with these guys. That sounds terrible.
And I saw social before I read the article and I was like, there's no way.
And then it's just like, oh, yeah, it's Secret Wars. Yeah, that's always been the plan, is to bring people back.
Yeah, I feel like they do that a lot. No, but they'll kind of like backtrack on it and be like, oh, well, we say rumored. And it's like, well, you don't publish it if you heard some random guy just spout some bullshit. You know what I mean? That's not a publishable thing.
I was going to say, if they are trying to bring these people back for something other than Secret Wars, that's a problem.
Yeah.
It'd be a weird idea for sure. It'd be, to do like Avengers 1.5, to do what they were doing in between Avengers and Age of Ultron, or between, you know, even Age of Ultron, after Age of Ultron, they left. So it's like there really wasn't much they could go back to. So it is a little strange. You could maybe have done something in between because they definitely had like more chemistry into that movie. You could maybe like play off a story that they did something chasing remnants of Hydra and all that. But yeah, so that was weird. The stuff that made more sense that seemed to be kind of like, all right, there's definitely smoke and fire here. Blade was a big one. They talked about Blade having a new writer, Michael Green, who did Logan, Blade Runner 2049. Mahershala Ali was ready to leave, which would have been bad. Mahershala Ali being in Blade is like, what's keeping that going? It's like, he cares so much about it. It's going to apparently have a budget of under $100 million, which I don't think is that big of a problem. Like, I think they can find a way to make that. No. It doesn't matter. Would be the lowest in MCU's history. But so it seems like they are pumping life into that as many times as they can. They do not want that to die. But that being a problem is not shocking. I fully believe that because it's been the case since it started, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been a while now.
It was supposed to come out the other day, by the way.
Yeah, that's right.
When they announced it was supposed to come out November 3rd.
Forgot they teased the Eternals.
I remember last year they were supposed to start filming in 2022, November. And then a week before, they just were like, nope, never mind. And it's weird because this is, for as many big A-list celebrities and A-list stars as Marvel has had, no one has ever taken the reins the way Mahershala Ali has. Like, he's clearly controlling things on that project.
Good.
Yeah.
Which I love. Yeah, no, I love it. I wish more people would do it. Not just the stars, but the directors, the writers. Like, if you want to make a project with me, make a project with me, not have me on the poster. Like,
the other one was kind of the big one, which isn't even like secret news. Everyone knew this was the Jonathan Major stuff. No one really knows where they're landing on this. This article seems to imply they're trying to get away from it. Now, we are recording this before the Loki season finale, which by all accounts, and especially according to the article, and I think Eric Martin, the writer, if he didn't say this, I apologize. I think he follows all of us on Twitter or something. But somebody involved with Loki said, like, it does set up Kang Dynasty. Like, it sets up Kang. And the article mentioned, like, Kang is at the end of this season. It's going to be hard to kind of go off of that. I don't know how much they're going to go. Like, I think the fact that they've seen this through as much as they have makes me think, like, there is going to still be a Kang presence there. I don't think it's going to be Doctor Doom. I don't know, but they're saying they thought about maybe replacing Kang with Doctor Doom or shifting right over to Doctor Doom. I mean, obviously the Jonathan Major stuff is a mess, and none of this is like entirely shocking, but I don't think we're going to know much more until we see this Loki finale, like really where it leaves off.
I think they're almost
they killed a Kang who was apparently like the big one, who obviously is not the big one in Ant-Man. Obviously, it's going to be a different Kang, but I don't know. I don't know what the movies give them. They've stuck by him as is, so I don't know.
That's where I think they've kind of lucked out is, like, the Jonathan Major stuff is almost, they can use it as an excuse to get away from Kang, because Kang is just kind of stunk so far. You know what I mean? Like, great introduction, Loki, no doubt about it. That's one, the closing, what, half an hour of a series of work, and then Kang and Ant-Man sucked. And Kang in this season of Loki's like that we haven't really seen him yet.
See, I've liked him in this, but I think he wasn't one.
You know, it's like they have a chance here. It's almost like they have a way to escape this, and I don't even think they even need to do it for the reasons that they're going to say they're going to do it for. But they could, you know, I mean, they could.
Spoiler: by the way, spoiler: he is dead right now, as of before this finale in Loki, like the most recent version of it. Now there's a billion Kangs. We've seen that teased. It is. I understand it's maybe a tough group to connect to because you see a bunch of different variations of it.
What I don't get is if there is a million variations of them, why not just recast them?
Yeah, when this all started, I think that's exactly what we said. Is that this is the luckiest thing about this is the fact that there's so many variations you can just recast and just be like, it's a different variant. It's not like you're. We were just talking about Fresh Prince before this. You're not doing fucking Aunt Viv or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you literally have this a built-in excuse for this.
See, yeah, but my point was going to be like, well, if they're not just like saying, oh, let's recast them, then my feeling is that they don't love the Kang storyline at all of where it's at.
True. That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think if you think about where Thanos was at this point, where like we have Kang, like Thanos, the buildup for him as the big bad was like pretty expertly done. You know what I mean? Like, this was like, you got 2 seconds of him, and then he was like the worst villain in Marvel, like one of the worst put together villains in Marvel and Ant-Man. And now we're just kind of like going back on him, like retreading it. And like, if I think it just doesn't really work that way, especially trying to follow up someone like Thanos. So like, go do fucking Dr. Doom. Everyone go nuts for him. And if you do him right, no one's going to remember anything about Kang.
I mean, obviously, it seems as though Loki is going to be the controller of time here. He's going to be the He Who Remains. He's going to be the keeper of the timelines and everything. Not to get too far into the weeds on Loki, but so I don't know. Like maybe I feel like maybe they can reset it that way. I don't know. It's also worth noting that Loki is apparently going to tie very heavily into Deadpool 3, which apparently is not going to be called Deadpool 3. That's another piece of news.
I saw some of the names old Sean Levy was throwing around, and I got to tell you, he needs to keep working on them. One of them was like Deadpool apparently, and like, Wolvie. Like, he was like, "What do you think about this one, Deadpool and Wolvie?" And I was like, "No,
yeah, I don't think that, like I don't think Deadpool's going to show up in the finale of Loki." But it's like Owen Wilson's in Deadpool 3. Like he's like it's connected to it completely, and apparently this sets up like so. I don't know how it's going to work. That one seems to be a huge leaping off point. Apparently it's going to leave there. I've seen some rumors. The more we've seen smoke, the more I believe it with Fantastic Four. Like that's going to be in a different timeline that gets branched over. So yeah, I don't know. I think Loki being kind of the king and ruler of all this can kind of wipe, if they want to wipe away Kang. I don't know. It doesn't sound like that's going to happen. Again, we'll know more on Thursday when the last at Loki comes out. Cause that's like, can't really say much right now. So yeah, that was Variety's article, which again, the big takeaway ended up being like, just put poorly, it was just worded terribly. It's confusing. They're just going to be in the movie that was announced 2 years ago or like 2 summers ago. It's very, very strange. Marvel also released a trailer for Echo, their first TV mature series. First TV under the Marvel series. Spotlight. What?
What? Is there an Echo?
Nah, it's terrible.
Stupid.
Aqua Cox. Vincent D'Onofrio, Charlie Cox back as Vincent D'Onofrio back in the Daredevil world. Charlie Cox back as Daredevil. Hits Disney Plus and Hulu in January. First TV mature series. First under the Marvel Spotlight banner. So it's only 5 episodes. Marvel Spotlight based on like a thing they've done with the comics. And apparently other characters are going to be under the Spotlight banner as well. Potentially like a Nova. Maybe some other ones like a Ghost Rider. That's like the names that have been thrown around where it's not full fledged series like a Loki, but it kind of just does like a quick hit on these characters, which is kind of similar to the Werewolf by Night thing where it's a more condensed version. I think the trailer, it's Maya Lopez must face her past, reconnect with her Native American roots and embrace the meaning of family and community if she ever hopes to move forward. I'm not like entirely amped for this. I think they cut a good trailer, but Marvel's cut good trailers in the past and things have not always been great. So I don't know. It's a wait and see for me here.
Yeah, we've been burned too many times to like get really tremendously hyped up or something like this, unless it's something that where there we have like a connection. Like if they did cut a great trailer for Loki season 2, like yeah, we're gonna be pumped up for it because we have a proven property. Echo, we have 20 seconds of her in She-Hulk or whatever, so like that's not exactly something that we're like we have built in trust for. But
she
like
she was in She-Hulk.
Was it Hawkeye? Whatever. Hawkeye. Yeah, one of those guys. So like we don't have that built-in level of trust, and so like I'll wait and see on everything Marvel for the next, and then for the basically like any time in the near future, I will be waiting to see. I will not be letting myself fall into any hype.
Listen, I've been down on Marvel, and I agree with you all. They cut good trailers. I mean, that Secret Invasion trailer was good, but it didn't have people getting shot in the head. And that is a wild leap forward for Marvel that I honestly didn't see coming with this series. But it looks like, in terms of like the aesthetics, it looks like they're trying to emulate the, you know, the Netflix Marvel series, like that tone. Will it work? I don't know, but at least they're trying, it seems. And the length, yeah, like Jeff brought up, this new Marvel Spotlight, that's where all these series should be. Like 5 episodes max, like probably 3 hours of content max, like that's a good safe spot.
3, 2, 2-parter, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think wait and see. The gritty R-rated stuff like doesn't need to happen for me. Marvel's made plenty of good things without all that, but I know people want it and I'm sure it'll make it, you know, take it to a different level and be something different. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not like over the moon yet. Wait,
it's more see. Just like trying to break out of the formula, which people have clearly grown stale on. Yeah,
very true. First teaser for Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes released. Disney bought Fox and decided to continue this franchise. Continues off one of the most underrated trilogies of all. Not even underrated, just underappreciated, because it's definitely rated very well. Did some good numbers at the box office, but like still just not put up there as it should be with a lot of trilogy, even though it's gained steam over time, and hopefully the new movie will do that. Many years after the reign of Caesar, a young ape goes on a journey that will lead him to question everything he's been taught about the past to make choices that will define a future for apes and humans alike. Kind of reminded me of Avatar, the new Avatar, a little bit, by the way. Like, they find like a new type of apes in like a different world. Yeah. I'm excited for this. I hope it's really good. Tall task to live up to the previous trilogy. Big thing though that it's going to be missing is obviously the Caesar character, which was a huge part of the second and third for the best. And obviously the first one though, obviously Caesar was a little younger and different, in the first movie. This is a little closer to the original. Obviously the humans are the ones kind of living in the jungle, and it's not quite on that timeline yet, but it's closer. Obviously, the original is much different in the way they portray the apes. They're wearing clothes and they have like politics and governments. But and I don't mean the Tim Burton one, by the way. Directed by Wes Ball, college roommate, I believe, of Barry Jenkins, who has only directed three movies, the three Maze Runner movies. It's a big difference. I'm excited for this, but you want to talk about a massive wait and see. Matt Reeves did the other ones. Like this you're getting, it's a whole different ball game this time. And there's a lot of people who are like, this looks great. And I think it looks cool, but it's a trailer and it's not the same parts. I don't want to call it Sicario Day of the Soldado yet, but like, I'm very similar. Like you've lost a lot of what made those first three great.
Yeah. I mean, the chimp thing, here's the thing about the chimps. I like that trilogy a lot. I don't know if I want to see any more chimps. I think we left on a pretty solid note. Trailer's cool and all that. I think I've hit my limit on what I need to see out of Caesar, and I don't want no more of it. If that
he's gonna be called no Caesar.
Calling an unpopular opinion, I'm done with the chimps.
New monkey, and it's got what's her face from what's that series that stunk?
We're going a different director to do the first one as well. By the way.
Yeah, well, who did the first one? I always forget that Matt Reeves didn't do the first one.
Rupert Wyatt. But the point being, like, you are losing a lot of, like, you're losing the greatest motion. He is, like, when it comes to motion capture, he is motion capture in Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
Or as our friends from the screening of Venom say.
Oh, my God.
Drew?
Andrew.
Andrew. Yeah, they're like,
Andrew Serkis is going to be
Garfield?
Here.
Spider-Man in this?
Andrew Serkis sounds like a character from like Tim and Eric or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But like a CIRCUS, like that.
I'm trying to find out who's gonna play the main monkey. I'm trying to find that right now.
So I don't know. I'm excited. The other ones are great. I love the Planet of the Apes franchise. Even the bad ones I love, not the Tim Burton one. I kind of have a soft spot for it. But even like the bad original ones I kind of love. Like they're still perfect from that time, but there's some things in here that are changing, and I'm not sure it's going to be a guaranteed success. Last thing, Fall Guy trailer starring Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, directed by David Leitch, also stars Aaron Taylor Johnson, Lee Majors, hits theaters March 1st. Colt Seavers, a stuntman who left the business a year earlier to focus on both his physical and mental health, he's drafted back into service when the star of a mega budget studio movie, which is being directed by his ex, goes missing. What do we think about the trailer for, speaking of Deadpool, by the way, David Leitch directed Deadpool 2. Also Atomic Blonde, Hobbs and Shaw, uncredited, did a lot of work on John Wick as well. So some good body of work there. But what do you think about the Fall Guy trailer, which sounds way too much like Free Guy, by the way?
Yeah, I thought the same thing. It is a little too
soon. Well, I assume David Leitch directed, by the way. I kind of forgot that he didn't direct Fall Free Guy.
That was a Sean Levy banger.
I know.
But, I mean, it sounds like the video game. I mean, Fall Guys. Ryan Gosling doing this is like all I need to know. He doesn't really he did do The Gray Man like 2 years ago, which stunk. But I have some hopes for this. Some hopes. They're not very high. The 3.5-minute trailer didn't do a lot for me. Like, that was a long... about
four. We want to limit it to like 2.5 for a trailer, right? I feel like
that is so long.
For action comedy, too. Like, it's
based on an 80s TV series, by the way, for those who don't know that.
Did not know that. Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt, sure, why not? Huge cast. Who else is in it?
Winston Duke.
Keller Johnson.
Yeah. So, it could be good.
Yeah, I'm very apathetic towards this, despite it starring Ryan Gosling. It's just very apathetic just based off the trailer.
Been in development since 2010. Originally, it was going to have The Rock and directed by Mick G.
I want that version.
What's Mick G been up to?
Mick G cut on the royalty check from fucking, whatchamacallit, Salvation. Supernatural.
Supernatural? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he produced it. Executive consultant from season 9 through 15. Like, isn't that the season everyone hates, right?
9 through 15. Real fans.
I've watched enough Supernatural. Supernatural is like, it's Supernatural is not known enough. It's well known, but like, I wish it was more in like the zeitgeist culturally, because it's fascinating how many episodes there are of that show.
He produced Tall Girl 2.
What?
He produced Tall Girl 2 and the Josh Peck, Turner and Hooch.
Wait, did he produce Tall Girl 1?
Yeah, he sure did.
Okay, I was like, imagine if he only produced two. I gotta get it on this.
What's the last thing he directed?
He comes into the first writer's room, and he's like, "What if we made her taller?"
He's got a movie coming up called Just Uglies. I'm kind of interested in that, to be frank.
I don't know how he got to his nickname, and I don't think I ever want to find out.
No, neither do I. I know I looked up his real name once, and it was very disappointing, and I don't want to look it up again. It's like not related to Mick G, if I remember correctly, and I don't want to know any more about it. So the Uglies, what a weird
Joseph
cast.
McGinty Nickel. By the way, I saw somebody the other day reference something, and it wasn't, and we'll wrap up here. It wasn't a reference to our favorite director, but I did think about Mike Titties the other day.
Oh, Mike Titties, the best director on earth. I hope we get to interview
the best director. The best director. It's not Mike. It's Michael. Michael Titties. Michael Titties.
He doesn't have a single friend that calls him Mike or Michael. They just see him and they just, it's the Will Arnett, you know, when Sully comes into the restaurant in Hot Rod and he's like, Sully, all of his buddies just go, titties, titties. Yeah,
what's up, titties?
You fucking douchebag, get over here.
Michael Titties.
Mike Titties. That's it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's it for news. There's supposed to be some more trailers coming out this week. Maybe you have a Marvel movie in theaters, which is probably not going to do great at the box office at all. Though I'll tell you what, I talked to Gooch about this earlier. The expectations for the Marvels is so fucking low that I actually think it's going to be like probably somewhat enjoyable.
The pre-sale being lower than fucking like Black Adam coming out of COVID is like bad.
Oh, it's gonna real bomb. Bad. It's gonna bomb. But people are equating like the box office to like the quality of the movie, I think weirdly so many young people on Twitter have taken that up, where it's like they think box office means how good a movie is.
But it didn't make money. That is a trend. It's definitely a trend. And I'll say it again. I hope the strike ends soon. I hope they get their fair deal. It's the same accounts that are posting about the strike, like as if they're striking with the people. It's like, oh my God.
Anyway.
You're not on strike with them. It's like, we get it. You don't like that studio, which you're definitely taking free stuff from.
Oh, jeez.
You're going to the screenings. You're holding your koozie. Yeah. Your Stanley mug with a sticker on it that says fucking Fall Guy. You have the same Hitman's bodyguard robe that Ken Jack
Hitman's
has.
Wife's bodyguard robe. And I have the duffel bag too. It's a great duffel bag. I use it all the time.
That's it. For Ken Jack and Gooch, I'm Jeff DeLo. Make sure to subscribe to the channel, like the video if you're watching on YouTube. That's been movie news and TV news.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
for the week.
And let's waste no time from news to our reaction to the penultimate episode of Loki Season 2. Enjoy.
All right, Loki. Penultimate episode of the Marvel Disney Plus series. Things were very bad. Spoiler alert ahead. Jeff D. Lowe, Ken Jack, and Gooch. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel. Like the video. Leave comments below. What's your theory? How is Loki season 2 going to end? But yeah, things were very bad going into this episode for Loki. Things were blowing up. We saw the conclusion of that. It blew up and everyone was gone. And then Loki started time slipping and he starts to meet his friends from the TVA in their real world counterpart areas. And it was first of all, I love time loopy stuff. Very time loopy, time jumping, time traveling, universe hopping story. Him needing to explain to all these people in the real world who they actually are in the TVA. What's happening, how to fix things. Kiwi Kwan's Ouroboros is an awesome character, by the way. I didn't know he'd be such a big character in the show. I thought when he got hired on, it was like great and everything everyone wants, put him in Loki, maybe a small role. Like, he is a massive part of the show. This was a very fun episode and it sets up what's going to be, I don't know how it's going to end. The rumors are of how big Kang's role is going to be. There is a connection to Deadpool. You kind of thought, no, there's no way they're going to introduce the next big bad in the last season finale, but they did. I don't know what's going to happen in this last one, but we just found out at the end of this episode, as everyone spaghettis and goes into like noodles and dies, he now can control the time slipping. And he time slips back to what it looks like right before Victor Timely goes out to try to fix the temporal loom of the show, of the timelines and reset everything. So, I don't know. Do we think we're going to see a big thing at the end, a big reveal?
I don't, Loki's in like this season is, I feel like more than anything else, been very hard to predict, especially just using season one as a barometer. So I don't feel informed during this season at all of almost anything. I'm the most ill-informed person on earth watching this show because I am so confused half the time of what's going on. And sometimes that's for better. Sometimes that's for worse. So I don't feel like I can make a good call.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ken Jack. I am enjoying this show. Like, I'm enjoying this second season. I don't think it's as good as season one, but it's still a lot of fun. And it just looks better. It's acted better. Like, the dynamics are just much better in this series than what we've gotten from the rest of the Marvel television shows. But I do think it is a little dense. The writing is just very dense, and thank God for Kiwi Kwan, because I don't know who else can step into that Ouroboros role and deliver all these very like high-level sci-fi, like just terminology, but make it sound so sincere.
And like very funny that the character is a failed scientist who writes sci-fi novels. Like, that's a fucking brilliant way to have that character create what is essentially the TVA. I love that.
Yeah, he's a great character, and I love Kiwi Kwan in that role. Like, it works in a way that I don't know how many other actors can make that work. But like I said, very confused right now. Hopefully the finale kind of ties things up and makes everything come into picture and come into focus a little bit better. Because right now it's just a collection of some fun stuff for me. And I'm like, where are we going from here? What's happened?
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it.
It's interesting because it's very tough to do these time loopy time slip things where there is no end and you have to wait for the last one to come out. Like, this is a movie, easy, you know, like, but to wait in between each week, it's like, oh fuck, I gotta remember what happened here. And that, for me, it's not really a complaint. Like, I love this type of time travel and like time slipping story. Like, I love it, gets me every time. A good loop where Loki in the beginning episode he sees himself and then all of a sudden he is himself from what he saw. That's going to get me every time. I'm a sucker for it. Like, I'm a sucker for every time. It's I like to have my mind just melted where it's like, I don't know what the fuck's happening now. But I do trust they're going to pick it up, though, and they're going to find a way to piece it together at the end here. Like, clearly, like, it's a very big aha moment at the end of the episode, but it's like, do they, I don't know, like, I'm with you. Like, it's tough to predict. Like, we've heard from this Variety article that slammed Marvel and said things were bad, that it does connect very heavily to Kang, and it connects very heavily to Kang Dynasty. But, like, will it connect to Deadpool at all? Like, will it have any bit of connection to their, there's been rumors, like, I guess Ryan Reynolds, remember, he tweeted at Miss Minutes tweeted, like, could there be, or is that just going to be down the line? We're going to see that in Deadpool, because they are connected. Owen Wilson's Mobius is in Deadpool, the new one with Wolverine and Deadpool with Hugh Jackman back. But I don't know. Like, I don't know if they're going to, like, would they drop something that big? It'd be crazy. The other crazy thing is, too, the finale, because they changed around the when it releases, comes out the same night as the Marvels premiering. Like, would they really drop a big thing? And by the way, the Marvels is not shying away from the fact that X-Men are going to be involved in this movie. Like, I don't know what it is. We've seen rumors, but, like, the trailers now, like, they when there's a word with the letter X in it, the X is the last thing to come off the screen. And she was revealed as a mutant in the Marvels, Kamala Khan. So I don't know. Like, are they going to, is like a big day where, like, the X-Men, like, are just revealing a bunch of bullshit in Marvel? I don't know. Yeah, I would normally say no, but the last time we saw Loki finale, they did reveal something big. So.
I want Loki to show up at that bar where Logan hangs out, like they did in Days of Future Past. Yeah. Be like, I need you for the TVA.
And he's like, fuck off. Fuck yourself or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of,
I don't think that. Again, it's going to happen eventually. Maybe it'll happen for that, but like, it would be kind of a funny natural way to slip in. But like, would they do it in Loki when they do it the same night that the Marvels released, which by all accounts apparently does have a major tie-in to. That's what the rumor is into the X-Men. So
the Marvels does.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. But we'll see. Very enjoyable, though. Like, I love that one of the complaints early off the top of the show was, you're like, you know, it doesn't really tie that much into all the other Marvel stuff. I'm like, well, that's kind of the enjoy. Like,
that's good.
That's why you get like this aura, but like you get these fun, different kind of things that are unique to the Marvel world, like more of that, like more of the unique, like new fresh character. Like that's what we want.
You get Ouroboros without the setup of, oh, there's an Ouroboros series coming in 2025.
Oh, just like, don't even say that. Don't even say that, dude. It's going to happen. Fuck. How would you do that? Like fucking Ouroboros Coven of Chaos or whatever. The IT desk.
That's what they would call it. They would call it that.
Yeah,
It really is like that's what you would expect. Like that's what you would from like other like Marvel stuff. It's like you'd expect like, oh well, it's like Ouroboros will return in like the Borises. Like it's just like it's that bullshit. But you can enjoy this like fresh new character and don't need a ton of backstory and setup. Like that being a complaint from people is still crazy to me.
But. We always joke about it with like too, like, and like I think there's the famous tweet about it or whatever where it's like there's Morpo Blorpo or whatever. Like that is the stuff we always talk about. We do like this type of Morpo Blorpo where it's Ouroboros or like Korg or some shit like that. You know what I mean? Like these little side characters where they get to go off and do something fun with something nobody knows about that has no setup. That's where I feel like Marvel really hits their stride and has a lot of strength, where they get to do something fresh and new and writers aren't beholden to this giant, their own version of like a sacred timeline, basically, where it's just Kevin Feige has the giant board that they need to adhere to set up 20 different things. Whenever they have a character that's a throwaway that can just plug and play anywhere they want, that's where they really excel with writing. And I think that's where they kind of get away from the further they get down the line.
So I got a question. So Loki's going to end up as this, the timekeeper, basically like what Kang was in season one. Something.
He'll be, he remains. Yeah.
So how does that play into like the rest of the MCU, like moving forward, like for the big stuff, like will he just be off screen the whole time or?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I love the concept of him like rounding up the Avengers and like being the one to bring the teams together. I think that's awesome. He is. It's like one of the few left that's still going from like the OG movies. Like think about that. Yeah. That's like kind of crazy. Like Loki of all characters remains like this character, this figure in this face of the Avengers and these franchise that's still relevant. And he's
died like 10 times.
And everyone loves, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think I would assume that's how it's going to happen. That's my guess. How much will he be up in the – the forefront as the character. I don't know. There's other like Loki and Thor backstory related things with the Marvel comics I won't get into solely because I just don't know enough about it, but it's a lining up for a type of run for Loki that I think they've seen before in comics, or at least related to it. So him in that role is great. I would love him to be like the team leader. Him, imagine Loki and Deadpool as like the two that round up all like the different, like Deadpool rounds up all the other universe characters. Loki rounds up all the, like, there's something fun to that and different that I think people could get behind.
The week you weren't here, like probably like 5 weeks ago when we were doing Loki and Robbie Fox came on, we initially had said that. We were like, be awesome if, because I was like, Loki's like the most charismatic guy left in the MCU at this point. Like, he's the biggest draw. He's got more juice than anybody. So it would be nice to see him leading the Avengers. And Robbie was like, well, what if it was him and Thor together? Just brothers, just run that dynamic back.
Then they want to make another Thor. I mean, honestly, like, if you are Marvel and you're saying, hey, how do we get to a point where these things are hitting on all cylinders again? If like the leader of the Avengers team, and obviously it's going to be like Sam Wilson, you're going to have Cap and all that, but like if it's Spider-Man, if it's Thor and Loki and like Deadpool with like Wolverine, like, that is pretty great. Like, that's pretty, who, like, I think you'd have to be a, like a big fucking hater to really not like that. Or if it stinks.
Julie Louise Dreyfus is in the MCU. I almost forgot about that. That shit going on too.
She'd be in the Thunderbolts coming out next year, apparently.
What's her name? Vicky Valancourt?
Yeah, and Agent
Harrison
Black.
Harrison Ford's in the MCU now.
Yeah, that's right.
He's going to be the... Harrison Ford is going to be the fucking Red Hulk. That's crazy.
Oh, he's going to look too much
money. I can't wait for that press tour. Hey, what do you think about the Red Hulk? I don't fucking give a shit.
Yeah. Tim Apple needs to make a purchase sometime soon.
Well, you know, the Green Hulk. Well, this one's red.
Though, granted, I will say that is because someone died. Worth noting.
Yes.
Tim Apple, okay, time to open up the pocketbooks.
One more left of Loki. Mm-hmm. One more episode. And then on pause for a little while from the Marvel world until Echo, I believe, in January. That's it for Ken, Jack, and Gooch. I'm Jeffy Lowe. Leave a comment below. What's your theory on Loki, the final episode of season 2? Make sure to subscribe to the channel if you've not done so already. That's it for our Loki recap for season 2, episode 5. Talk to you next time.
Stella Blue Coffee's new canned lattes are here. Crafted with 100% Colombian coffee, each can is a good source of protein and comes in two smooth flavors, espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. And whether you're braving your morning commute or chasing your pup, Stella Blue cans are for those always on the go and for those who care. Stella Blue is more than just great coffee. It's about giving back. I named the brand after my rescue dog, Stella, who inspired our mission to help more dogs find their forever homes. Every purchase supports animal rescue organizations. So when you drink Stella Blue, you're not just fueling your day, you're saving a dog's life. Try the new cans today. Taste the difference and make a difference. All new Stella Blue coffee canned lattes now available at stellabluecoffee.com or subscribe on Amazon for 10% off.
That was our reaction to Loki. Now let's get into our hot takes of the week. Enjoy.
All right, Hot Take Friday here on Lights, Camera, Barstool. If you're on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the channel. Hit that subscribe button. Like the video. It's very hot in here.
Oh, mine's going to be scorching today. Scorching.
I think out of all the weeks we've done this, by subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, like the video if you can. Again, if you don't agree with our takes, it's a hate like. Comment below your favorite hot take of the week. What's your hot take? Movies or TV, I guess. I will say, I think I'm the leader in the clubhouse on hot takes because of the fucking whatchamacallit?
Wolf of Wall Street.
The Wolf of Wall Street one. Yeah, it's just like.
Yeah, and then his ass came in here like the next day. It was crazy. By the way, Jordan Belfort. Maybe the shortest man I've ever seen in my life. That's shocking how short he is.
Leo's the first actor in Hollywood they had to shoot down on to make him look smaller than the counterpart. Yeah. All right, hot takes. Gooch, you can go second then if you think you have a scorcher. We'll put you right in the middle. Ken Jack, what's your
I'm not sure how mine is. I'm curious how you guys feel on it, but we'll see.
I think mine is not hot for the three of us or people who are maybe like plugged into what I'm talking about. But I think Gen Pop might be like, oh, that's spicy. So let's hear yours, Ken Jack.
Mine is that I think that they should readapt Twilight. And
there we go. Let's go. Yes.
Kind of crazy they haven't already.
I know. I think that they should readapt it because this is a property that had an absolute stranglehold on a pretty large demographic of people. And the actual adaptation that it got did not really get the TLC that something like that deserved. It was very just kind of like, we're just going to throw this shit at the wall and teenage girls are going to come and watch it. And we don't give a shit. And like, I think you vampires in general, we've talked a lot about how vampires are kind of out. They're kind of out in part because of how bad those movies were.
Yeah.
And I think that they could also now be in because of this movie. You just do it again. No more goofball CGI baby or baseball shit. You remove all that goofball shit. You take it a little bit more seriously. Like, obviously it's a YA property, but like you can make it a little bit more of an elevated thing within that genre and you could make something really amazing. You know what I mean? Vampires are cool. Vampires are sexy. They're all these things. They have all this shit going for them. And it doesn't need to be like this goofball kiddie shit that they ended up in the movie. And like not something that becomes a mocking, like something that everyone makes up. Be something more like I guess like Teen Wolf or something like that, or like where people take it that
the show.
Well, oh, that's his take. Holy big vampire stop Ken Jack's video. Oh, he's back. We got him. I like that. That's interesting because if you think about it with the respect of like Harry Potter, they're redoing Harry Potter for a series. They're redoing, they kind of are redoing Lord of the Rings, like not really, but like a little, like enough, like, right. Like they're messing with it enough. It's Twilight made a lot of money and it was really routinely accepted as horrible. So it's like for them to not even have talked about it yet, it's kind of crazy. You're right. And I remember I was in high school, man. Like that shit was the biggest deal. I remember when Kristen Stewart got caught, like, smoking weed or something. That's how you know how long ago it was. It was like, oh, they're Kristen Stewart smoking weed. I remember people in my house were like, the girls who didn't like, oh, they're gonna recast her now. Like it was like the biggest thing. She's a dog.
Get rid of her. remember when Donald Trump was commenting on their relationship nonstop?
Kenjack, you're mute.
Kenjack, we have lost your mic. Did either of you all read the books?
No, fuck no, no.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Who would? Yeah, lame. I mean, but anyways, if someone had on this podcast and had done it with the hopes of hooking up with their seventh grade English teacher, they would tell you that the source material really is not strong. Like what the movies did in adapting the books is pretty one for one. Like it's pretty straightforward. It's not nearly as like it is saucy. Like the books are pretty saucy, but like they really don't get too adult at any point. The writer, Stephanie Meyer, she's a Mormon, so it skips over anything like really steamy. Yeah, like it's a pretty faithful adaptation. So it would have to be, you know, they'd have to rewrite a lot of stuff to like go for what Ken Jack's talking about. But I don't hate it. I do like vampire stuff. And I think this is like a franchise they could tap into.
Yeah, I'm not even saying like go full Teen Wolf or like whatever Vampire Diaries any of that and be like super like, whoa, erotic thriller or something like that. No, but like I'm just saying you could take it a step above what it was and still like hit that YA audience or something like that. And plus, most of the people that were like heavily into Twilight, they're aged out of that YA group anyway. You could do a readaptation that is just not YA and make it like more of an adult themed thing and it could still be good. And I think that there is just – it is great. Like people – like if you're thinking about the franchises of like books that like we were into like growing up and everything like that, I guess like people now in like that millennial stage or whatever, it was like Harry Potter and then Twilight. It was like that's how close this was for like the book franchises. And like it just does not get talked about at all because the movies are so bad. And because all the people that were in these movies went on and did way better things and all this shit except for maybe Taylor Lautner. And yeah, but it's – go do it
hey,
again.
Hey,
do
hey,
it again.
Hey. He's going to see the Eras tour every single day. He's doing backflips with.
That's no disrespect to Taylor Lautner. He just hasn't had a shot. He'll get a shot sometime soon with something else. And he's being like, healthy. I think he's a dad. He's hanging out. He's having a fun time.
Married to his wife, same name.
This era of social media too, it would absolutely pop. Like, well, there's two ways it would pop. It's either good or it's like really corny and horny and over the top, and it would absolutely, if it's in the middle, it wouldn't do very well. Like it would, people would watch it, but I don't think it'd be talked about much. Like there is definitely a lane that they could either hit or miss, and miss in the right way.
So to predict, if we were to drop that news, like, hey, Twilight's launching a reboot, like they're going to start a reboot, there'd be two basic like receptions. I think it'd be all the dudes you know that are on Facebook and whatever from high school, they're like, oh, fucking Twilight, are you kidding me? Is this bullshit? It'd be those guys, the guys that still hate Justin Bieber, like those fellas. And then there'd be other people that would be like, oh, tantalizing.
What could happen here? Kardashians, like, how are we watching the Kardashians? Like, bro,
it's, yeah, exactly.
Move on.
Exactly, yeah.
War's over for you.
I'm just saying, there's an audience there, and yeah, it has not been tapped into in any sort of qualitative way.
There's absolutely an audience. I mean, the Interview with the Vampire series, the reboot of that has been a smash hit. Like, people really love that.
Vamps.
Yeah, everyone likes vamps. Like, that's the thing. Like, vamps are just inherently cool. Mm-hmm. Creatures of the night that seduce and, you know, ugh.
Even cool. Like what we do in the shadows. Like, people like vamps. It's just a thing. Mm-hmm.
All right, that's a good take. It's a good hot take because people. I think that's one where people get pissy about that. But I think general audience won't love that take. We don't need Twilight, dude. What the fuck, dude?
They definitely would have to change some stuff around. Like
that's what I'm saying.
Like there's some stuff from there that like just doesn't play in today's climate. Look, but yeah, now I'm thinking of it.
You have your lessons learned from how bad those movies were. You just apply them to a reboot. You know what I mean?
They try to
play. That's a series where like no one's like, oh, you can't touch Twilight. That's something where everyone's like, oh, you gotta touch this. You gotta retouch. It's not some like you're rebooting Indiana Jones or some shit. You know?
They make it hornier. They put it in Miami.
That doesn't work. Miami Vampires doesn't work. You can't have that. Just like a vampire with a BBL.
Bella, are you going to live tonight, Bella?
A vampire with a BBL is maybe the funniest thing I can think of off the top of my head. I'm just picturing that. I'm going to have to put that together.
Gooch, your take. You say it's spicy. Let's hear it.
Oh, it's spicy. All right. So a lot of Marvel stuff this week. Whole lot of Marvel. This is a big news week. But the biggest news item, in my opinion, was the Blade news. Blade picked up its writer and also announced that the budget's going to be underneath $100 million, which would make it easily the cheapest Marvel movie ever made. But I think it's a good thing, and I think Blade will be the best movie since Endgame and a top five MCU movie of all time. This is because I brought this up and I tweeted out earlier this week. This is going to force them to really go back to fundamentals. And I think with these smaller projects, we just got the trailer for Echo a few minutes ago, and it looks completely different in tone from everything else the MCU has given us for decades now, or at least a decade and a half. These smaller projects, the studio doesn't have their hand in them as much. It's like with Andor. It's like if it's off to the side, you get a little bit more creative freedom over there. And it feels like Mahershala Ali is going to, no matter what, he's either going to leave the project and the project won't happen, or he's going to stay on and it's going to be an absolute hit with his like artistic integrity still intact. So I think Blade is going to be fantastic.
We call that the sports video game fans call that the NCAA football effect. They used to always say that that game was significantly better than Madden because nobody EA Sports paid attention to it. So they were allowed to just kind of do fun shit and whatever they want. That is like
exactly
definitely a real thing. Funny enough, the hottest take that you said isn't best since Endgame. It's top five because it's like best since Endgame seems like an attainable goal. I mean, Blade not being good with Mahershala Ali in that role would be grossly unfortunate.
I just don't think he'll let it happen. I legitimately don't think that's
the case already. Like you said, like it's like they're going through enough changes where it's like they're not letting it. He almost left, but they're like not letting it be bad.
I mean, yeah, the screenwriter they got, Michael Green. I mean, he did Logan and Blade Runner 2049 within the last 10 years. Like he's a very good writer. They got a good one here. We'll have to see who ends up directing it, but so far, so good. Like, I want more stars to start doing this too within the MCU. If you're an A-list actor and you're signing into the MCU, like, make sure you have some creative control here.
Yeah, or at least use your capital that you gained if you're one of these big guys. Like, you know, you can wield it. No one at Disney is going to be like, you know, no one at Disney's like Harry is in a position to be like, we'll just move on. Especially for like someone like Mahershala Ali with a property like Blade, like there, you have the leverage really. Like they might be the studio, but you really have the leverage there because you leave and everyone's immediately shitting all over that project. And by the way, score two for Vamps. In this,
I know that's too. I mean, mine is just not. I don't have Vamps in mine. I feel like I
find
like
a way to loop them in somehow.
Rework it.
I think I need a vamp. I just don't have a vamp.
Do your take in a vampire voice?
Just in a Dracula. Oh yeah, shout out to Jason Segel doing the Dracula thing. That was funny.
Yeah. Oh man. all right. I guess here's mine. I just don't have a vamp take. I do have a 2025 Oscars take though, not this upcoming Oscars. Not this upcoming one, because I think the upcoming Oscars are kind of a shoo-in at this point. It would take something meteoric for Oppenheimer to be unseated as what could be it is going to have historic numbers at the Oscars.
I think
and probably wins.
I think Poor Things sounds like the only thing that'll has a chance at challenging it.
And it doesn't sound like Poor Things has. It's not.
It won't have the campaign.
Yeah, and the funny enough, our coworker and friend Kirk Minahan mentioned about Holdovers. Like Holdovers has kind of that Green Book feel to it, and like Coda, where it's like a feel good you could have, but it's the same studio as Oppenheimer. They're never going to campaign against themselves. It's never going to happen. Anyway, 2025. I've said this before. It's not a crazy hot take, but I'm struggling for one today. I think looking at what's coming out, and there's some stuff. There's like Gladiator, maybe Avatar. We'll see. I'm going to hammer. By the way, you want to talk about another Oscars with a lot of money makers potentially up for Best Picture again? The next Oscars, Avatar, the Gladiator movie. Could be some other things right there. But I think Dune 2, now that's coming out next year, I think Dune 2 is going to win Best Picture next year. I think it had no shot this year. I think my take is I think Dune 2 is going to come home with Best Picture at the Oscars. It's going to give it its, I guess, Peter Jackson, Lord of the Rings moment a little bit, even though first one obviously didn't do as well as Lord of the Rings, but to be the same thing where Dune won everything at the Oscars and to all the technical stuff. Like it was Dune. And you're like, oh fuck, is Dune going to like maybe win something big here? It obviously didn't in the end, but I think Dune 2 wins Best Picture next year. I think you're going to see a lot of big Joker. You're going to see a lot of big budget movies that make a lot of money up for Best Picture. It's going to be a very interesting Best Picture race in 2025. But I think Denis Villeneuve due for a Best Picture win there.
I don't hate it. I'm rooting for it. That's for sure. But when was the last time a straight sci-fi won Best Picture?
I mean, pure Best Picture sci-fi? I mean, the closest thing to it obviously would be Lord of the Rings in terms of fantasy, sci-fi, like adventure, like something very different. Fuck.
And it's a great genre, so I'm shocked there hasn't been more of them, but it doesn't feel like the voters go that way.
Yeah, but I will say he seems to be liked. There's a lot of people in it. There's a lot of well-liked people in it. Did 2001: A Space Odyssey win Best Picture?
No, I don't know if it did. I don't even think it got nominated.
Is Batman Part 2 still coming out in next year?
Who?
Or is that not? It's 2 years from now. Never mind. The Batman Part 2.
2025, I think. No. I could be wrong.
I think that one's then. So yeah, so there's going to be a lot of big budget ones. I will say maybe that's the even better take is I think you might see $1 billion movie in back-to-back years, and that's me rounding up Oppenheimer. I do think it wasn't that much Best Picture. I do think Oppenheimer hits $1 billion. You may see back-to-back years $1 billion movie winning Best Picture. Or something like at least above like $700 million, which is obviously crazy because in recent years that's not been the case at all. You know, it's that common like, oh, you know, X movie that won Best Picture, you know, no one's seen that. So I do think that's going to change in the coming future. So that's my take there. Crazy
Mickey 17. Potentially, though. Mickey 17, I forgot, next year too. Mickey 17, the Bong Joon-ho one. Forgot about that.
That's right. I forgot he has another one coming out, which I think that'll do pretty well. I expect that to do pretty well at the box office too, though. There's enough Bong Joon-ho like hype, and Parasite did well enough where, you know, if it's good, it's going to be – this year is going to get hyped obviously quite a bit because of box office with Barbie, with Oppenheimer. You're going to have all that talk, but next year it's going to be crazy. You're going to get like a heap load of Best Picture nominations that are making a lot of money at the box office, which has not been the case lately. So
Zendaya threesome movie, I forgot, is coming out next year.
Craven the Hunter.
Furiosa. Yeah, I mean, that's, you want to talk about sci-fi, pure sci-fi, basically, that got some good nominations.
Furiosa comes out next year. I guess that makes sense. They filmed it like 2 years
they
ago.
They said first looks coming out soon. Yeah.
That's interesting too. I
think so. That's another one that, you're right, that's another one that's the case that if it's good, sci-fi best picture nominations included Star Wars, E.T., Avatar, District 9. Avatar was close. Inception was probably closer than we realize. Gravity was definitely close. Her wasn't that close. Mad Max won everything but best picture, it felt like. Yeah. Mad Max was very similar to Dune. The Martian didn't win, but won Globe. Arrival. And then Dune.
Despicable Me 4 next year, too. Damn, there's a lot of competition.
If he steals the moon again, that's sci-fi.
Exactly. Venom 3, damn, there's a lot of competition. Oh, the Twisters movie. I forgot about that. I forgot they were doing that. Hell yeah. Twisters, Captain America, whatever, Brave New World.
New World Order, right?
Brave New World. Borderlands, the Alien movie, which I need to see a good Alien movie to begin to believe it, you know, at this point.
Yeah.
Well, the movie that's going to win is going to be like Jimmy Burpo, some indie movie that nobody heard of that comes out that everyone loves. Some crazy performance from a guy they found off the street. Yeah,
exactly. That's
now. Yeah. There we go. There are takes. A lot of vamps. People who are vampire fans are fired up after a list. They're like, fuck yeah. More vamps, baby.
Thralls. Like vampire and reminder, fans.
If you do want very horny Twilight, just go watch the 50 Shades movies, because that's just what those are. So
basically, it was fan fiction, right? Wasn't that the whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Twilight fan fiction. Just put them in an office. And
Suzanne Collins, right? Or no, that's Hunger Games.
No, Suzanne Collins. Yeah, Suzanne Collins is Hunger Games. Yeah, yeah. No,
H.L. something is, right?
R.L. Stein.
It's a double. It's a pseudonym. It's
R.L. Stein writing.
I think it's two letters and a name.
E.L. James.
E.L. James.
Stein writing a 50 Shades movie. He put his spooky cock inside of a haunted vagina. An R.L. Stein 50 sex novel. Oh fuck! I gotta do that too.
That's it for. That's it for Hot Takes of the Week, Hot Take Friday. If you got hot takes, drop them below. Let us know. Subscribe to the channel if you're watching on YouTube. That's it. For Ken, Jack, and Gooch, I'm Jeff DeLo. We'll talk to you next time.
And straight from Hot Takes, let's go into our streaming picks of the week. Enjoy.
Okay, welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool. Today we're doing some streaming picks. No Jeff right now, as he is doing some dozen stuff, I believe. But
No, he's not.
Not true?
No. He's got something else going on. We're not allowed to talk about it.
Yeah, well,
you have to tweet at him. Tweet at him and ask him what he's doing.
Go tweet him. Ask him where he is. Anyway, me and Gucci, we're going to give you 5 picks each, and we'll just go right off the top. And I'll start you out with on Amazon Prime, a relatively new movie came out last month, The Burial, starring Jamie Foxx and Tommy Lee Jones. A movie that I remember when we talked about it, we were just talking about movies that were coming out in the month of October, and we saw The Burial. I was like, what the fuck? Why have we not seen anything about this at all? It's a Jamie Foxx movie. You figured it'd be promoted more. Not promoted at all. Not a great movie. Not like some excellent, you go, oh my God, stop what you're doing and go watch this type of movie, but pretty solid. Heavily carried by Jamie Foxx. Like, Tommy Lee Jones is that, like, for the last, like, 15 years, it has been just kind of like, yeah, I'm there. Don't ask me to do too much, but I'll be there. But Jamie Foxx crushes it. Really cool, interesting story based on a real true story. And both, I think, are very interesting. Well put together in the world of, like, I don't want to say, like, frivolous lawsuits, but, like, that world. And Bill Camp. Who doesn't love Bill Camp? Dude's, like, just a great HBO face. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I still haven't watched this, but I'm going to. Because, I mean, you have hyped this up now. Jeff has, too. And, yeah, like you said, just wasn't promoted. At all. Especially for Jamie Foxx, who's, like, very easily marketed. I don't know a single person that doesn't like Jamie Foxx.
If you're doing Caesar's sportsbook commercials, you're a likable guy.
Yeah. Tommy Lee Jones never going to be hired for a sportsbook commercial. Ever. No. Never. Maybe for, like, repping, like, beef jerky in Texas. I don't know what you could hire Tommy Lee for. Where's he been? like you said, 15 years now.
AARP, something like that. That would, I would buy that if I was an older person. Your pick.
All right. I tried to do some fall-ish picks, you know, like more now that we actually hit fall. Pulled my AC unit out of the wall yesterday, about threw my back out. That's great.
I just moved in.
Yeah. I'm too lazy. Or not too lazy, but I don't like I don't like the heat or the cold coming in. Mm. Like I will stay in bed the entire day if I wake up and it's cold. My first pick is Fargo. Coen Brothers on Max. I'm sure most people have seen it, but if you haven't, this is the time of year to go back to it. Also, Ethan Coen or Joel, one of them splitting off and doing a movie this month, coming out this month with Margaret Qualley and Beanie Feldstein, Drive Away Dolls. Looks good, but this is kind of a primer for it and fits the time of year. Fantastic movie, just like any other Coen's brother movie. You get a really sharp script, great dialogue, funny, witty, but also just well done. Like, honestly, mm-hmm. It's shot well, looks fantastic, acting phenomenal. Frances McDormand, just so good at that Wisconsin accent. It's a great movie. Or not Wisconsin, but, you know.
Dakota.
That area.
Watch the show, too, on Hulu. Yeah. Really good show. Except for the last season wasn't great, but hopefully this new one's really good. My pick is also on Hulu, Shaun of the Dead. I love Shaun of the Dead. Maybe we're too late. We're past Halloween season, but I see when I'm looking through the banner and I see it every time I see it, I'm just tempted to stop what I'm doing and watch it. Great. Well, it's like, obviously it's Edgar Wright. Like, you know what you get great music, you get witty jokes, very dry, quick humor. It has all of that. It's super funny. Great, great tracks. And like the scene where they're doing, Don't Stop Me Now, and they're beating the shit out of the bar owner zombie. Like, so many great scenes in the movie. So many great lines. Always worth a rewatch.
What's the driver's license joke in that movie? It kills me every time.
That's in Hot Fuzz.
I got it mixed up.
Says, like, when's your birthday? 22nd of February. What year? Every year. Great line.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Those two movies blend together. Not so much At World's End. But yeah, no. Shaun of the Dead's great too. Also, like, the jukebox scene in the bar, I think, is like maybe the best use of music ever in a movie. Like, legitimately, like, might be. Great pick. Next one, this is a favorite of yours, and it might have been suggested early when we first started doing these. Master and Commander. I can't explain it. That is a fall movie to me. Like, for sure. Just the drab, dreary nature of it makes it feel like November.
Dads are meant for fall. And that's a dad movie. That's an all-time dad movie.
Like, dads and flannels go hand in hand. Yeah.
Like, moms are summer, dads are fall.
No, it is. It is absolutely a dad movie. All men yearn for the sea. We yearn for adventure. Even if the adventure doesn't pan out the way we want it to, we still went on one. Mm-hmm. It's a great movie. A good vibes movie.
Yeah, I love that movie. Great, great pick. And great practical effects across. Oof, great
movie. Yeah, and that's on Prime Video, by the way.
Prime Video. For me, I'll do another Hulu one, Blade. I like Blade. It's like, it's weird to watch in retrospect to some of the other superheroes things where everything gets so, like, kind of muted and blends together in certain ways. This one is different. Like, it starts you out with, like, that club scene, like the and, like, the blood sprinklers coming out. Fucking Wesley Snipes beating the shit out of the dad from Grounded for Life, Donald Luge or whatever his name is. It's not perfect by any means, but it's cool. An interesting lore, the Daywalkers, all that stuff. It's really interesting. And, like, they obviously have all that Blade news that came out today, too, with Mahershala Ali saying, almost like, he's like, yeah, I'm just done if you're trying to. They try to make him, like, a fifth character. They try to switch Blade to be, like, focus on, like, a female side character with Blade being kind of, like, a tertiary guy. And he's like, literally, fuck yourself. Like, I will not do the movie. But, yeah, so Blade for me.
Marvel is like, we're going to get you that Oscar, Mia Goth. She's still starring in it, right? Oh, did you freeze? Oh, wow. Did you just freeze? Oh, you froze for a second.
You froze for me too, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I was saying, yeah, no, Marvel, like, acting like they're going to get Mia Goth the Oscar or something. I thought a lot of that news, by the way, pretty good news.
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part. More of these A-list celebrities or A-list stars signed up for these Marvel projects should start doing that. Say, yeah. I will fucking leave this project right now if you don't fix the script.
Exactly. Agreed.
my next one, and I just actually just watched it this morning. First rewatch in like 10 years. Lost in Translation. Sofia Coppola's got a new movie coming out this weekend. I think Lost is probably her, I think universally agreed on probably best. I could see some people loving like something like Marie Antoinette, but that's just way more niche and for a specific audience. Lost in Translation can be enjoyed by anyone. On its surface, romance movie, but realistically, it's just, it's about being somewhere new that you don't know anyone and trying to find connections in that space. And I think that's something everybody can relate to. Very well done. Scarlett Johansson, I don't think gets enough credit, or at least early in her career, didn't get enough credit for how good of an actress she is, outside of the fact that she's just really hot. Like, she is a very good actress. Mm-hmm. And people have kind of come around on that now. But yeah, she's great. Definitely check out if you never seen anything Sofia Coppola before and you're going to see Priscilla, that'll be a good primer for you.
Yep, going to see Priscilla tonight. I might just have to watch it after. Next up for me on Max, The Foot Fist Way. Danny McBride doing humor is going to be worth watching like 9 out of 10 times. I'm pretty sure David Gordon Green did something with that too, because like everything Danny McBride did for like a very long time and still does involves David Gordon Green. But amazing. It's very funny. It's not, it's like a very, not as funny as like a, another, like I would say cult classic comedy movie of that era, like Hot Rod or something like that. I don't think it's in that sphere, but I would say the, it's very, it has so many really good moments. And I would say it's a very underrated movie, or at least underappreciated, because it wasn't really watched a lot. And I still, you still a lot of people that haven't watched it. And I think people have come around and have overwatched, fuck, what's the character's name in Overwatch? Like Tracer? I want to be Tracer.
Wait, what?
They've overwatched the game. They've overwatched Hot Rod. But Foot Fist Way is really solid. The scene where he punches the grandma gets a laugh out of me like 1,000 times out of 1,000 so far.
That's a good pick, because it actually kind of ties into my next pick. Same era of comedies, also flew underneath the radar a little bit, or at least has now. I don't think younger generations or people born after the year 2000 really would know this movie's Accepted. They might. Accepted, yeah. Very popular when I was a kid or younger, but I don't see anyone talk about it anymore. But Justin Long, Blake Lively, very young Jonah Hill. You got fucking Lewis Black in there. Kids these days, they don't know Lewis Black. They don't know Lewis Black.
No, Lewis Black, they don't know nothing about Lewis Black.
He had to have been canceled.
Dry ass delivery.
There's no, like, he's been out of the public eye for 10 years. There's no way he did not get canceled.
He was like everywhere for a 3-4 year span, and then I've never heard about him again.
You know what happened? VH1 stopped doing their I love the whatever 90s, decade.
They ran out of decades.
Yeah, and so they're like, Lewis, we got no work for you. But Accepted is, it's very, very, very funny. Like anybody who, I mean, even if you didn't go to college, it's still hilarious. Like it's great. Prime Blake Lively too.
Yeah, they could honestly do I Love the 90s and I Love the 80s and I Love the 70s all over again with just a different crew. Like, I don't think anyone would knock them for just doing it again. Plus, none of those are like streaming anywhere. You know what I mean? Not that I know of. Like, it might be on Paramount Plus, but
you know where they're at? They're on YouTube and they're uploaded in 480p. Yep.
Oh, okay.
I went through them last summer. I did the 90s one. I either did the 90s or the aughts. Probably the 90s, but it was the worst quality video I've ever watched, but I just kept it on the background, listened to, I don't know, fucking, yeah, like Lewis Black, like screaming about, I don't know, Britney Spears and how she was so hot when she was 16.
Like, where else could you hear, like, Hal Sparks talking about Devo or some shit? It was always, like, Hal Sparks and, like, Michael Ian White or the fuck, what was that?
Yes.
Those two motherfuckers were all over those things, and I don't even think they were born in any of those decades. Okay, so that's a good pick. I'll do for my last one on Max, Walk the Line. Priscilla coming out soon. Biopics, rule. And I think this is one of the best ones ever made that I'd seen anyway. James Mangold, who I think has made a lot of great movies, a couple of pretty underappreciated ones. Like, The Wolverine doesn't get the credit I think it deserves for being actually pretty solid. And then Logan is one of the best superhero movies of all time. And Ford v Ferrari, Copland is awesome. Like, no one's seen that. But I would say Walk the Line is like one of his best, obviously. And like, I think you get two of the best performances of that year with Joaquin Phoenix actually singing and being Johnny Cash. And you have Renee Zellweger, or not Renee Zellweger, Reese Witherspoon also singing in like real voice, all that shit. Like, it's super, super impressive on like a million different levels. And it's like a must watch movie, in my opinion.
Yeah, I get the like modern biopics, most of them, the adherence to or the hesitation to not do the singing for the main actor. But it really does make the performance so much more enjoyable, even if he doesn't sound or they don't sound exactly like the artist they're portraying. Like, yeah. It's just cool to have that take, and like it feels more alive. I can't explain it. It's a weird cut when you go from like Rami Malek's talking into Freddie Mercury singing. Like, there's a disconnect there.
It's like, do you remember that Roku Weird Al movie?
Yes.
Like, that does it on purpose. And it's still like a little bit like, oh, that's weird. Yeah. So like when you have someone like it's, and it's supposed to be like a seamless transition, it just is weird.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a great pick too. James Mangold, people say he doesn't have like, or people criticize him for not having like a very specific style to his movies.
So what?
But like, he's such a fantastic studio director. Like, if you want somebody to like helm like big projects, like, it's hard to do better than that. He doesn't fuck them up, rarely.
310 to Yuma, I almost forgot about.
Yeah.
Great movie. Really solid movie. And I think that an introduction to Ben Foster as like a really good actor.
Yeah.
You basically mine that out of him, which I love.
And then my last pick, this is, some people are psychos and like think that the second it hits November, it's Christmas time. So I'm handing out a Christmas pick, Violent Night, from last year. It's on Prime Video right now. If you missed it last year, definitely check it out. David Harbour fucking crushes it. Very fun, different kind of Christmas movie. Less focused on like the corniness of it all. And just makes kind of just a really fun action thriller, to be honest. Like, there's some really, really great action sequences in there. Like, shit you would not expect. Like,
yes, very true. What's the name of the Joel Kinnaman one? John Woo's coming out soon. It's like a very similar name.
Silent Night. I think that looks good too.
Oh, that's because his throat got shot, and at least in the trailer. Yeah,
that's one of those where it's like, this is either going to be a hit or it's going to be a disaster.
Big time disaster. Yeah. I hope it's good because I love Kinnaman. I'm a big Kinnaman guy. We've interviewed him before, but I'm a Kinnaman stan. Colonel Rick Flag. What's the fucking quote?
What a joke.
Yeah. Do you remember the fucking stupid shirts they would sell where they'd be like, I stand for the flag and kneel for the cross. Kneel for the cross, stand for the flag.
Yeah.
You really should have made that shirt.
I don't know if we're allowed to touch on Cap.
Okay, so my picks, The Burial on Prime, Shaun of the Dead on Hulu, Blade on Hulu, Foot Fist Way on Max, Walk the Line on Max. Yours?
Mine are Fargo on Max, Master and Commander on Prime Video, Lost in Translation on Netflix, Accepted on Netflix, and Violent Night on Prime Video.
Mm-hmm. All great picks. Make sure to go check those out. And if you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe. Always helps us out. We'll beg for it every single video we do. But that's it. We'll be back with a new video. I forget what we have next. We actually just cooked up a really good draft idea that I'm very excited for to do next week. But that's going to be a really good one. Very, very pumped up for that. But until then, make sure to go watch the bracket. Watch all the other fun stuff we do. Until then, we'll see you next week.
And lastly, it's time for our review of Sofia Coppola's latest movie, Priscilla. Enjoy.
All right, Lights, Camera, Barstool movie review time. We're talking Priscilla, new A24 movie directed by Sofia Coppola. It's not just about Elvis, but yes, it's another movie involving Elvis that has come out in the last 2 years. Pretty solid cast with two young stars off the top. That's the one that stick out the most. In the lead role, Kaylee Spaney, I believe how you say her name. I may be saying that wrong. Plays Priscilla Presley. Jacob Elordi plays Elvis, who's in everything right now.
Saltburn, baby.
Solid. Yeah, Saltburn coming out soon. Solid critic scores on Rotten Tomatoes, 84% for about 177 reviews. Audience score, less or so, 62% from the audience. Sofia Coppola has quite the interesting filmography. But I would also say a bunch of her stuff that I don't even like I don't love, I still kind of like, just because of her style and like what she does. Like, even something as bad as like The Bling Ring.
Yeah. Forgot about that.
I don't even like not, but like there's a style to her stuff that I do enjoy. And obviously she did Lost in Translation, which is fantastic. The Beguile from a couple years ago, which was very interesting and different. Colin Farrell in that, Nicole Kidman. Who else was in that?
I don't remember. One more girl.
Kirsten Dunst.
Can't remember. There we go.
Yeah. So here's how this is going to work. I'm going to give a score, and I'm going to say I liked it, and then I'm going to do gymnastics to say why I like the Austin Butler version better, even though I did not give it a higher score. 86 out of 100. I quite liked Priscilla. It's first of all, I will say, we joked about it on the show, we talked about Hot Takes. They are two very different movies. Like, it's not even like from the same fucking planet. Like, these are like two different universes they're from. But Elvis is in it prominently in both of them. When teenager Priscilla meets Elvis Presley at a party, the man who's already a meteoric rock and roll superstar becomes someone entirely unexpected in private moments, a thrilling crush, an ally in loneliness, and a gentle best friend. Yeah, it's a very interesting movie in terms of how it's set up. Almost like a romantic thriller, like kind of like horror-ish type thing. It's like, it's really like dark in that sense. And tells a pretty, I guess, like raw story in that way. This is not like a fun biopic. Not that Elvis was either. It was a fucking wacky movie. But it's, I don't want to say it's not safe either. Like, I don't think it's like a safe movie. My critique of it, we'll get to when we go to cons. I think we're all going to have pros first, but I enjoyed it. I think it's good stuff from Sofia Coppola. I like the way she directs and makes movies, and I think they're two good performances off the top. 86 out of 100. Good movie. Really good movie. Ken Jack.
Yeah, I'm right next to you. I had an 85. Like, that was when I left the theater, and it was like the first thing I said, just like almost out loud. I was like, that's an 85 overall right there, and better than Elvis. But I really liked a lot about the movie. I think it was almost like watching a drama about a regular relationship, except it just happened to be about one of the biggest relationships in pop culture history, which I think is very cool and very difficult to do something like that without it, like, you stopping and being like, oh, that's Elvis. Oh, that's Priscilla Presley. Oh, that's whatever. And like, I think that's something that was really done in an excellent way, because it humanizes them, you know? And that's two people, like, for us, people are, it's like, we don't know shit about really any of that. Like, we didn't grow up with that relationship being like pervasive throughout everything. Or even Elvis at all. So like, for us to be able to watch that and see them just kind of as like two human people that are fucked up in whatever ways, like, I think was very well done. Production value was crazy, crazy good. Great. All like costume design, like the cars, the shit they were wearing, all of it was just incredible. Couple little like nicks that we would throw out what they say about, but we'll get to that in pros and cons. Really liked it a lot. And like we mentioned, Hot Takes, kind of cooked a little bit. But we'll talk about that more later.
Jack, you were in the kitchen. You were in the kitchen. Yeah, I'm at an 82 out of 100. And I'm glad you brought that up about, like, it's just a very relatable movie, despite it being about one of the most famous people who's lived in the past centuries and his relationship with Priscilla. It's very nuanced in how it takes on that relationship. And Sofia Coppola, you can see a lot of her, I don't want to say self-inserts, but a lot of the way she likes to talk about relationships kind of pops up here. And I enjoyed it because I like the way she views that, and I like the way she directs it. And I would recommend this movie to anyone who, if you felt like Elvis last year wasn't scathing enough or wasn't critical enough or didn't take a deep enough look past the surface level of Elvis's life, this does an even better job, despite Elvis not being the main character. Like, it is just so much better, so much more well written.
Oh, yeah. Nowhere near as bumpy at all.
Not even close.
Like, it is very well written.
We'll transition to the pros with that. That is for sure. If you want a comp, which I do think it's not a one for one comp. They're obviously two insanely different movies, but it is, in terms of Elvis stories, it is. That, again, I love the other Elvis. I gave that one an 83. I really liked it. I had a great time. I like Baz Luhrmann, though. That is something worth noting. But it does, like, it's a rocky fucking start, that movie.
Oh, yeah, first third. One of the worst first thirds I think I've ever watched in a movie.
Yeah, no, it's the, I feel like the Elvis movie with Austin Butler wanted to show Elvis the legend, the myth. This movie really did just show Elvis, like, the person. And paid respect to him as a performer. It wasn't like they're like, oh, he He doesn't know any, like, he clearly had, he knew what he was talking about with fashion. I mean, he was talking about fashion nonstop in this movie. And they did show him as like the performer that he was, like the dedicated performer, like the musician that he was, like talented, but they were much more willing to go places that Elvis from last year just wasn't and had no interest in going.
Yeah, no, I agree with
all that. I'm trying to find a funny tweet. Hang on.
There's been a lot.
Well, I'll move it to cons because I got to find a tweet. Yeah, I think, and then we'll talk maybe more about like the subject of the movie, which is not truly Elvis. I think Allure does a really good job. I think it's they're two very different. But Boss Butler playing the music biopic bombastic Baz Luhrmann artsy version of Elf, which I think is great, and I still think fantastic.
Allure,
like the grounded like offstage version, he's very good. He's very very good.
It is very funny. I went home after I watched Priscilla and I started watching Elvis and I turned it off after like the first like half an hour. It's so jarring to try and watch those two movies back to back because they are so different. And like just for what they're trying to achieve, Priscilla just does blow it up in a lot of different ways. Like fucking the Doja Cat scene while I was trying to go to talk to BB King. Like, fuck you, Baz Luhrmann. Fucking loser.
So Kaylee Spaney really good in this. Like I actually think like one of the best performances of the year in this. I think she's very, very good as Priscilla Presley. Like really commits everything and you connect and you feel the emotion of that character the whole movie. And you know what my biggest takeaway was? I wish Sofia Coppola had done the Princess Diana movie with Kristen Stewart.
Yeah.
Spencer. That's actually exactly what it reminded me of. I remember saying, like, I wish that movie had committed a little more to, like, kind of, like, the quote-unquote terrors that she was going through and, like, kind of, like, the horror of, like, the world she was wrapped up in. Like, I wish that had been – they'd committed much harder to that with Spencer. And I was like, you know, Sofia Coppola would have done a fucking great job with that. That was my like, first thing I thought about when I left this movie. But she was great.
She was really good. And I think there was points where, especially in the second half of the movie, when she was becoming, like, just, like, a wife and mother and all those things where it's like, this does just look like a child. And I'm like, I kind of wish they like did a little more to age her up, but I feel like that was done with purpose because she was just that young. And also like, they want to make a point of that. So I get it. But like the scene where like she walks out and she first has like the black hair and beehive and stuff. I'm like, that's just a child wearing a wig. And like, it's just, it was a little off putting for a second, but again, that's part of it. That was just part of the actual story.
Yeah. I mean, she was still what, like 18 at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, whoever did the hair and makeup did a fantastic job because when she's 14, she looks 14. I mean, I checked when I left the theater to make sure it was the same actress. Cause I was like, she looks so young there compared to the end of the movie. But yeah, no, she was great. I wouldn't be shocked if she sneaks in for a nomination at the end of the year, especially it being a biopic and it being her movie. That's just the kind of performance that Academy voters just love. They love. Mm-hmm. Is Elordi, by the way, is he a leading man? Is he a future leading man? He's very tall and almost too good looking, but I do think he's sneaky. Might be a good, like very good actor.
Brad Pitt territory where he's he's got the A-list movie actor like face, but he has like the beat, like the character actor ability. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I will say, like, I have always kind of viewed him as like this Netflix rom-com guy, but now I don't anymore. Like, he's clearly got like different chops. Like, he's built a little differently than I might have. It's the Shaq theme. I wasn't familiar with your game.
I wasn't familiar with your game. Yeah,
yeah. When he's not in the ninth version of a Netflix rom-com, it's like, oh, okay, this guy's got something.
He's on the Kissing Booth 10 with Joey King or whatever. It's a very different side of him. I think his Elvis is really good too, for all things considered. And again, like, you can, a lot of this is just it is what it is. You're gonna have to compare parts of it to the Austin Butler Elvis, but like, dude, he read, I think he said he watched 15 minutes of Elvis clips before he auditioned, gets the role. Really doesn't do like this insane regimented thing to get it. And he nailed it. I thought the voice was really good.
Yep.
Sounded a lot like him. They made a point not to do the singing, which I think is smart. And I think that like everything else, as far as like mannerisms, sort of like getting this, towing this line where like the Elvis that we see in the movie Elvis, right, is like this bombastic, not real. Like, that's just not a human being. You know what I mean? Like, not a real person. But the Elvis we see in Priscilla is like a real, that's a dude. It's just a regular, kind of like a regular guy in this like insane situation. And like, you can relate to him as a human being. And again, obviously the same thing with Priscilla for, and we had talked about this, I think ahead of the movie, where I was like, I don't really know much about Priscilla. Like, why? I don't know why I should be like heavily into this or anything like that. But I think they do a really good job of like not only showing who she was as a person, but like why she became this sort of like icon later on, and like her, and again, so isolated into this, the world of just this relationship without really exposing it all to the outside world. It's almost like claustrophobic, you know? Because like, mm-hmm. you don't go to the outside world really at all. It's like her in her parents' house or her in Elvis's house. And that's it. And it's almost like, I don't want to say like a stage play, but like it is very claustrophobic. And I'm assuming that's almost what she felt like, right? Because like her entire life is just kind of like bombarded with this fact that she's married to like the most famous man on earth. So I think that, and at the same time, again, keeping it very intimate and only kind of within the scope of her relationship to Elvis, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, again, that's like I hate talking about another movie that's against the exact same thing. I was like, fuck, this is what we said the critiques were from that Princess Diana movie. It's like, oh, yeah. Shit. And that one is an even more fucked up story. Like that story is fucking, and this, I mean, it's all relative, but like obviously there's some demons here and some bad things here, but like the Princess Diana story is fucking crummy. People think that she was killed. So,
and also, by the way, the humor in Priscilla, pretty funny. The scene where he's like reading philosophy in books, yeah. Like, I was like, dude, cracking up, dude.
That was one of the funniest scenes I've seen the entire year. Like, so, so fuck. He's like sitting there with his fucking glasses on, and he's he's like, I've started to read.
Reading all my books, baby. Reading all my philosophies.
And he takes off his glasses, and he's like, I don't think I want these anymore. Just cut straight to a book burning.
And see, and that's like a great like meta or bigger commentary on like the, you know, the mansplaining modern dude guy thing too. And it's like that's still going on in the 50s, and I think that's a nice little insert, very funny. And they had a good amount of those like little tiny funny moments, you know what I mean? And
my audience got that too, which I loved. Yeah. Like I was like, that's a joke that I think some theaters just like don't get. Like, yeah, it was so funny. My theater loved it,
dude. I was killed cracking me. Up There's a couple other scenes like that too, where they're very funny. I can't think off the top of my head, but that one specifically, the philosophy books, is what that got me bad. I was dying at that.
The one where he's dressing her up is like, it's fucked up what he's doing. Like, you know, like making her dress up in these different clothes and telling her how to dress. But when he's like, no, brown doesn't suit you. You need to be wearing solids. I'm like, this guy is the little kid from Curb Your Enthusiasm. He's like,
yeah.
Fashion.
Yep. Fucking beast.
Like, he talks so much about like clothes and like how to wear her hair, like the whole movie, which is like driving home how controlling he was. But at the same time, it's like, Elvis, good lord.
I like when they were showing that too in the when he like gets the residency in Vegas, that little montage of him like going through all the capes and all the performances, I thought was really sick too.
Yeah, that was really the only time, one of the only times you got to see him. Exactly. I guess that was the only time he performs in the movie.
Exactly. And no Doja Cat in this, big plus.
No.
No modern rap songs, no modern anything songs, rather. Just, I think that's probably a smart move when you're making a movie about Elvis, personally, in my opinion. But I know you guys feel differently, but that's a personal
preference. There were some, maybe, like, I think my only like real takeaway is like, there's a couple things where I wish she would have gone for maybe a little more. Like, it doesn't need to be Baz Luhrmann, but there were a couple parts. There were some times where like I think this could have like a little more life, a little more, I guess, pizzazz. Maybe that's because that's just like, maybe that's, again, it could be why I like the other Elvis movies so much. Like, when I think of Elvis, I just think of that big in your face stuff, which is not like, that's not like a unique take on Elvis, but there are points where it felt a little like bland in that sense. But again, I liked it. Like, I think it's good. It's a really good movie. The best thing I can say about Sofia Coppola, again, is like, even when it's a movie that I don't like, I still like what she does. I like what she puts forth. Like, I like her style, like the type of movie she makes. Doesn't always hit. Again, The Bling Ring, probably the best example in terms of like recent things, but no, I quite liked it.
Let the record show, Jeff wanted a sexy red song to play while Priscilla was talking to Elvis about getting divorced.
Yeah, I wanted a like Macklemore song.
I will say,
she leaves the apartment. It's like, in the third grade, I thought I was gay, or whatever that song is.
Downtown. That song. Oh, bang.
I wear your grandma's clothes as just leaving the fucking complex. That ending was so abrupt, but so like in the moment, I was like, what the fuck? But then like when I left, I was like, oh, that was really good. Like the second the relationship ends, that's when it ends.
Yeah. See, are we in cons now? I do feel like the pacing was, if you're going to go for one issue, big glaring issue, I think the pacing is just a little all over the map at points. Moves quick at the beginning, really slows down, and then real fast at the end.
Yeah. The theater, I remember, because I was sitting with my fiance, and she's like, was that it? And I was like, yeah, that's weird, right? And then we left, and I was like, that's, again, like the movie starts like the literal second this relationship kind of begins in a way, and then the second it ends, it's over. And that's like, again, the whole kind of movie taking place only within the scope of this relationship, I think with purpose, I think was really cool.
Yeah, I would highly suggest going to see this movie. I think this is like, there's a couple things in theaters right now that I think you need to go see. I think The Holdover is one. I think this is another one. I think they're very good, under the radar, not going to get a ton of love, like mainstream wise, but like this one should. It's A24. I think I'd go, like, honestly, if you want to like go see two movies in a weekend, I'd go see Holdovers and Priscilla back to back. Go check it out. 86 for me, Kenjack 85. Gooch, remind me of your score.
82.
So yeah, we all quite liked it. That has been Priscilla, the Priscilla Presley movie featuring Elvis. It's a feature for Elvis. Though very prominent. Lordy, very good job. Next week we're doing two movies, The Marvels. And then it feels like we did RR around this time of the year last year.
Yeah.
Where we're gonna dip back into going outside of American movies, for, I believe, is it Joanne? Is how you pronounce it?
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
it's Indian Hindi language movie, action thriller. It's on Netflix. Check it out. Set a bunch of box office records for Hindi films. So yeah, we're going to watch. We did it last year. RRR ended up being probably my favorite review of last year we did. So we're going to rip this one next week. It's on Netflix. So go watch it.
The main character is like Joker mixed with Robin Hood. I can't explain that. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, so go check that out. And then we'll do The Marvels as well. So we'll do both those movies next week. And then it starts to kick into gear a little bit. I think for the rest of the year, there's like something at least somewhat notable until the end of the year. I think we have Hunger Games coming out soon, which I'm actually like kind of excited for the new Hunger Games movie. I don't know why. Like the recent trailers actually, I didn't love the first one. The recent one I've kind of liked, so. We'll see how it is. Yeah. That's it. Leave your review in the comments below for Priscilla. Let us know your thoughts. What was better, that or Elvis? Subscribe to the channel if you're on YouTube. Like the video if you can. It would help us out a lot. That's it. For Ken Jack Gooch, I'm Jeff D. Lowe. Been a review of Priscilla. Talk to you next time.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.